It is great to be here. And truly, didn't we have a great day yesterday? Boy, that was the best. Well, a month or two ago, my wife Judy was going through some videos that we had moved from our home in Vancouver to Cooley Dam, and that was 9 years ago. And we had not looked at any of those videos in the 9 years since we moved from Vancouver. In fact, our VHS player broke somewhere in that time, shortly after we moved there. And so we couldn't play any of our VHS tapes. Now you remember these the VHS tapes. You know, they're fairly large compared to the DVDs. And my wife, Judy, she's always looking for a way to reduce clutter. And I kind of think it might be so that she can find more places to store quilt material. But anyway, while culling through these tapes that we no longer wanted, she played a Feast of Tabernacles tape and from the early 80s, and later she had me watch it. Now, I'm not going to try to describe this tape, but just a little bit later on, we'll play the tape. It's a very short one, and then you can see that for yourself. But I was watching the tape, and later while I was talking with Judy about it and the Feast of Tabernacles in general, I started thinking about the many people who used to attend the feast and now no longer do. Do they think about it? When the fall season comes around, the weather changes, the garden ripens, all those things happen, you know. Does this trigger those thoughts in their minds? Like it always does for us, at least does for me. You know, I just wonder. Then there's also a very, very large group of people who profess to follow Jesus that never and have never and have no knowledge of the Feast of Tabernacles or what it points to in the future. Think back. How much information did your mainstream Sunday school provide you about the feast? Was it right up there with the story of David and Goliath or Noah's Ark? No, none of that. Today I'm going to reinforce that we are doing the right thing, observing the Feast of Tabernacles, and I'm going to give four reasons for doing so. I'd also like to share some thoughts I had while I was thinking about all the people who don't observe the feast now. Okay, reason one to observe the Feast of Tabernacles. Leviticus 23 shows that it was a commanded assembly for all the children of Israel. Now, the Israelites were God's chosen people. I consider myself to be one of God's people. So it makes sense to me that I would want to be where God is fellowshipping with his chosen people. I know this. Some people might argue with that. Some people would call this simplistic. But it's good enough for me. Number two reason. It's a time that we can learn and reinforce what we have learned in the past. Forgetting is easy. Seems to be getting easier every year. If we don't periodically refresh our memories, we lose information. For example, a great deal of family history can be completely lost in just one generation. My dad died early at the age of 57, when I was just 28. There was so much I never even thought to ask him because he died so sudden. And much of what I did know about him, I've already forgotten. And now my mom is gone too, and I can't ask her. I've only got one resource left, my sister. Well, I got a brother too, but he's 10 years younger, so that probably wouldn't help me as much. So each year that we attend the feast, it's like taking a refresher course. one that points to the truth about God's mercy and what happens when we die and the promise of the resurrection. Subjects that would bring peace of mind to the many people who don't attend the feast and don't know God's plan. Besides the sermons and Bible studies it teaches, some of the more basic nuts and bolts aspects of Christian living are discovered when we are just relaxing in small groups, enjoying a meal or a drink, talking and sharing. Iron sharpens iron, and when we are fellowshipping together, His Holy Spirit just flows. So the feast is also a time when we can glean wisdom and understanding from each other, as well as from Bible studies, sermons. When else do we have the opportunity to be this close to this many believing people for an 8-day period? The feast is designed to bring us together, physically and spiritually. A lot of us live busy, stressful lives. I know, each year we say, next year it's going to be different. I'm going to relax more, going to scale back, going to enjoy life more. We're going to learn to say no. Well, that doesn't usually happen. But the feast is a great time to declutter our lives. And this is number 3 reason. We had to decide what we were going to bring with us when we started out. We had to make decisions at home, what we were going to bring, what we were going to leave home, because, you know, the vehicle can only handle so much. And if you happen to have flown in here, you were probably limited a whole lot more by the regulations and stuff and the cost of carrying too much stuff on an airplane. Likely you are now living in a much smaller area. You have fewer rooms. I would be willing to bet everybody's got fewer bathrooms. Much tighter quarters than the place you call home. So we've been pretty much forced to have less physical clutter. But now is also an excellent time to declutter our minds and our hearts of anything that keeps us separated from God. Things like resentment, mistrust, anxiety, any kind of negative thoughts. And I would hope, too, that we could all scale back our use of the electronic information devices and try to forget the outside world for a few days. You know, the opposite side of clutter is clarity. Being able to see things clearly. Being satisfied with what we have and not being preoccupied with what we don't have. The last reason to attend the feast that I'm going to mention today is, I believe, the most important one. We enjoy and celebrate the feast each year, renewing old friendships, meeting new people, enjoying the fruit of our labors. But we are also practicing and preparing for future rulership. The Feast of Tabernacles, otherwise known as the Fall Harvest Feast, with its abundance of wine, recently gathered crops and grains, fattened livestock, along with God's blessing and His command to go, to enjoy, points to a future joyous time. The resurrection of the saints in the 1,000 years without Satan the deceiver. We may not know all the details of the millennial rule, but we do know that it will be far superior to what we are experiencing now. Let's look at some scriptures to back this up. Let's first turn to Revelation 20, verse 1 through 3. Revelation 20, verse 1 through 3. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations any more until 1,000 years were ended. That's hard to think about, isn't it? The deceiver being locked up, you know, the cause of a lot of our problems. The world without Satan's influence. Let's also turn to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 to 23. But Christ has indeed, make sure I got the right place. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn, Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him. Lest we are alive when Jesus returns, we will be part of that promised resurrection. And one other scripture, Matthew 19, 28-29. Matthew 19, verse 28 and 29. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. So as we enjoy this time together, we are also reminded of the ultimate plan, Jesus as Savior of mankind. Now you might be thinking, only 4 reasons for keeping the feast? I can think of many more. Well, that'll give you something to talk about over lunch today. Now, about the many who don't observe the feast. Mainly I was thinking about those who once kept it but no longer do. My first thoughts were, something's got to be done. What if they forget the plan? What if they drift away? But then I was reminded of something I read a few years back. Basically, it said this. I don't have all the answers. And the answers I do have may not even be God's will. I need to go to God in prayer and ask to be part of His work without any preconceived notions, without saying, here's the problem, God. Now help me fix it. My problem may not even be of any concern to God. Or he may already have the solution. He may have the solution already in the works for a long time. So instead, I should ask for guidance and listen for a reply. We can't just decide on our own what program or ministry we should be involved with, but rather continually ask God's direction and strive to determine where he is leading. I was reminded of this when my first thoughts about the absentee feast goers was to jump on some solution. Something's got to be done. So I thought I'd just share this with you. You know, for many of us here, there was a time when most decisions were made at the higher levels of church organization. Now God has given individuals and individual churches, church groups, the opportunity and responsibility to use their talents and abilities to find solutions on a lower, more intimate level. It's no longer a one-size-fits-all concept. We still don't know it all. But with a large pool of people with unique talents and abilities, we stand a much better chance of matching someone in need with someone who can help. The key, though, is that we need to stay open to opportunity, not assuming someone else will do it. And when we see a need, I pray that each of us would react as Isaiah did in chapter 6, verse 8, saying, "Here I am, send me." Now I'm going to ask Scott if he'll go ahead and play the tape, and then I'll be back to finish up.
The lamb and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf, the young lion, and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed. The young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw with the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the bowl of the ass, and the mean child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's head. It shall not hurt, nor destroy in all my holy mountains, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as silk waters cover the sea.
The little girl was reading from Isaiah 11, and if you remember, she said, "In that future time, they will neither hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain in God's kingdom." How are some people harmed or destroyed now? Drugs, alcohol, pornography, child abuse, elder abuse, spousal abuse, murder, rape, theft. We could go on and on. Fortunately, most of those things don't affect many of us directly, but far too many people are affected. And even if we're not involved in the crimes or the abuse, we are burdened with the costs of trying to prevent the crime, heal the abuse, or incarcerate the criminal. We need God's kingdom. We can't fix all the people. They need a change of heart. We need a change of heart. We all need the return of Jesus. He is the answer. He is the Savior. We can't come up with programs to make it all better. I think we're learning that more and more as time goes on, that things are just completely out of control. And that's one huge reason we continue to attend the feast each year, to remind us of God's plan, when He will finally make it better. It is certainly great to be blessed with the knowledge of God's future plan for mankind. It is a blessing to be able to meet together each year and be reminded of the plan. But wouldn't it be wonderful if everyone had that same knowledge, that same belief, the same peace of mind that God loves us and He wants us as part of His family?